Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number 3 of our radio program. That's right, it is a Zach Gelb show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Tomorrow, on many of these same stations, you can listen to the great Ian Eagle and Mike Mayock call a Thursday night football game on Westwood One between the New York Jets and the Houston Texans, Halloween. So you could trick or treat with Ian Eagle and Mike Mayock, and the former NFL general manager is kind enough to join us right now. Mike, appreciate the time. How you been?
My pleasure, Zach. I've been doing great, and I'm looking forward to doing a game with Ian. I get a kick out of him. He's got a dry sense of humor, and we have a good time whenever we do a game.
Yeah, and this game, before the season started, you thought maybe you'd have two AFC Super Bowl contenders. The Texans, they've now suffered a big injury. We'll get to the Jets in just a bit, with Stephon Diggs now being out for the year. And they don't have Nico Collins back yet because he's still on IR from an injury he suffered a few weeks ago. So if people were thinking Texans in the Super Bowl, I know it's a next man up mentality, but how do you kind of evaluate their chances of making a run for this thing without Stephon Diggs now?
Yeah, it's a good question. They're 6-2. The good news, I believe, is that if they can get past the Jets tomorrow night, it looks like Nico Collins is tracking for a Week 9 return, and that's against Detroit. That ought to be a fun football game. Realistically, my biggest concern for them, I know they're beat up at wideout. They got a young kid named John Metchie, who I'm anxious to see if he can step up. I watched a lot of tape at him at Alabama. He's had a star-crossed career. He had to battle leukemia in 22, a lot of injuries last year. He caught 3 balls last week when Stephon went down. So I'm anxious to see how he plays. But my bigger concern for them, big picture, Zach, if you're talking Super Bowl, is the offensive line. I don't think they've played well. Their left guard has struggled for me on tape. Kenyon Green. And I think it affects the quarterback a little bit. I don't think he's trusting that offensive line 100% at this point. So to me, that's the bigger issue, is can they get that offensive line where they want it so they can compete with the best teams in the league?
And the opponent they're going up against tomorrow, the Jets, are just an unmitigated disaster right now. We know Saleh was fired a few weeks ago. The defense, it's good, but it's not all-time great like they thought they had. The line's a problem still in New York. Rodgers looking old. Has been able to connect with Garrett Wilson. And this team's lost 5 in a row. They can't afford to lose another game. I already think their season's over. But is there anything when you look at the Jets that you go, maybe they could turn it around here and at least find a way to surprise some people up against the Texans?
I think the only way it can happen is, you're 2-6. You've got 9 games left. You got to win at least 7 of the 9, if not 8. If they can start to play more consistent football, and it hasn't been good, Zach. You hit a lot of the issues on the head. It hasn't been good. But if they can get on a roll, the schedule favors them. The only winning team left on the schedule after tomorrow night is at Buffalo late in the season. So, they play a bunch of games that are winnable, but they've got to be more consistent in all 3 phases to even think about winning a football game before you can even think about getting into the playoffs.
You watch more film than anybody. When we get into cornerbacks in the league, like there was a big debate before the season, who's better, Pat Surtain or Sauce Gardner? I said, you're splitting hairs, but I like Pat Surtain the second better than Sauce Gardner. Sauce looks lost right now this year after two awesome rock star years. What's going on with the young defensive back, in your opinion?
I don't know. I mean, I've watched a bunch of his tape, and what, to be honest, one of my favorite practices I've ever watched live in my life was my last year with the Raiders. I went on the road and watched Cincinnati and then went to Ohio State before we played at the Browns. And I spent 2 days at Cincinnati, and I watched Sauce Gardner going up against Pierce, the kid that went in the second or third round, the wideout Alec Pierce to Indianapolis. And let me tell you something, they practiced their asses off. It was really fun watching Gardner compete with him every snap of those practices. I'm a big believer in who he is with his length, his quickness, his overall top-end speed, ball skills. The whole defense confounds me a little bit because on paper, a lot of the numbers look good. You know, they're number four in yardage, number 11 in points, yet they've got to stop a below-average team to win a football game on Sunday. And the final and a backup quarterback takes them 70 yards in 12 plays. And to your point, the key play in that drive was to a wide receiver who beat Gardner to the inside on a 43-yard post play. Now, he had no help to the inside, and the throw was pretty good, but there's been inconsistencies throughout this defense. And again, on paper, it looks pretty good, but the more tape I watch, the more questions I have.
Assuming the Jets don't turn it around, and I can't see how they turn it around where all of a sudden they make the playoffs. You know, if they're able to get 8 or 9 wins, it would be like one of the greatest coaching jobs I've ever seen in the final 2 months of the season, as Mike Mayock is here with us. Do you think it's time for Aaron to retire? He has another year left on that contract. Should the Jets be interested in him coming back next year?
He turns 41 in December. The tape is nowhere near as strong as it used to be. I keep waiting to see, okay, let's knock the rust off an Achilles. An Achilles is hard when you're 20, 25, let alone 40. Last week, I thought he threw 3 or 4 really good deep balls, especially one to Garrett Wilson off his back foot that looked like a vintage Aaron Rodgers throw. But it's interesting because, Zach, you know the old saying that when a quarterback's eyes and his feet are connected, he's got a chance to be special. And right now, I think what we're seeing is, you know, a 40-year-old mind and eyes, which are pretty good, and he can see things, but I'm not sure physically he can get where he needs to get. He can't just sit there and slip everything sidearm and rip it 22 yards on it. That's just not happening right now. So I thought he had Davante Adams a few times last week and didn't take the shot with him. So to answer your question, I think the jury's out on him. And I don't think he's playing high-level football at this point at all.
If I take Kansas City out of the picture, which is impossible to do, but just for the sake of this conversation, Mike Mayock, in the AFC, who's the team right now that you have the most confidence in to get to the Super Bowl if Kansas City's not getting there?
Kansas City's not there. I love the way Buffalo's playing right now, especially getting the wide receiver they got before the trade deadline with Cooper. Let's see, AFC West, outside of them, I don't think anybody's going to make any noise. I just told you what I thought about Houston, who's a really good football team, which brings you back to Baltimore and Pittsburgh. And they're the two teams, I think, along with Buffalo, that you can legitimately talk potential Super Bowl about.
If everyone's healthy, is Mike Tomlin making the right decision, continuing to go with Russell Wilson, in your opinion?
You know what I've learned over the years, Zach, is in Mike Tomlin, I trust. And on paper, sometimes, like a few weeks ago, I was going, you know, you're 4-2, and Fields is more athletic. He can do more things as a younger man. And Russell hasn't looked good the last couple of years. And I'm thinking, wow. But my next thought was, I trust Mike Tomlin. And what Russell's done the last 2 weeks justifies that decision. And I think the cool thing is that Justin Fields is still a talented young quarterback. And I think he's a smart enough kid to take advantage of this time frame. So I think right now it's a win-win. Russell's playing at a high level. They're winning football games. Baltimore lost a game nobody thought they'd lose last week. And if he has to ride Justin Fields later, he'll have an opportunity to go back to him.
I know the Colts had a press conference today, as Mike Mayock is here with us, right? They make it official. Anthony Richardson going to get sat down. Joe Flacco's now the quarterback. They're trying to win more football games now. Flacco gives them a better chance to do that than Richardson. But then Shane Steichen kind of was saying, yeah, there's still a future here for Anthony Richardson. I kind of rolled my eyes at that. If they really thought he could be the franchise quarterback, I don't think they're sitting him down this early in his career. But you've been in those rooms before. Kind of take me through how you evaluate the future of Anthony Richardson in this league.
Well, I think there are two conflicting thought processes here. And one is the team is 4-4. And in that AFC race that you just mentioned, they're very much in the hunt. Now, they're not going to win their division, but if they can get the 9 or 10 wins, they can get into the playoffs, which is a goal for every organization. And if you're Shane Steichen or if you're Chris Ballard, you know, and trust me, I understand how your job is at risk. You know, I got fired after going 10-7. So at the end of the day, there's a lot of pressure on these guys to win football games now. Okay, so that's one thought process. You're trying to make the playoffs. And I believe, and I think Shane believes, and I think Chris believes, that Joe Flacco gives them a better chance of making the playoffs. However, you're doing it at the risk of not developing a quarterback that might need more development than any first-round quarterback I've seen in years. He's gifted. He's talented. He's got arm talent. I think it matters to him. But he needs reps. He needs thousands of reps. So on the one hand, you're trying to get in the playoffs. On the other hand, whether you get in or not, you're going to come back next July with a first-round quarterback that isn't ready to start any more at that point than he is today.
Does Bryce Young just have to get out of Carolina with how disastrous that situation has been as of late, or is he just someone that we all just missed on, just wondering?
I think he needs to get elsewhere. If you look at the it's funny you brought it up, Zach, because I was looking at some of the names earlier today about quarterbacks going back to the 2020 draft and all the way up through now and the different classes. And, you know, you look at Bryce Young, you look at Richardson, C.J. Stroud's the anomaly there, the kid in Tennessee, Will Levis was the first pick. He's a talented kid too, but he can't figure it out yet. C.J. Stroud's the only one that's playing at a high level. And you got to kind of go back. I mean, that Trevor Lawrence year, I think there were 5 quarterbacks in that class that are all struggling right now, 5 first-round quarterbacks. So that quarterback thing is a hit or miss. Sometimes it's the kid, to your point. Maybe we miss on the kid. But I believe if there's a certain talent level, it comes down to the fit within an organization and how much support they give the kid to develop. And that's exactly what you just brought up with Anthony Richardson. How's he going to develop if you bench him now? Well, we're trying to go to the playoffs. So what's the big picture look like? And I think too many kids get put in a position where the fit doesn't work for where they are at a development in their career.
Right now, when I look at all the quarterbacks in college, and I know you were great at this at the NFL Network. I'll never forget when the draft was in Philadelphia. You would have thought when you walked in the room, the Pope was in town with how many people in the media were trying to talk and hold court with you. When I look at the draft for this upcoming year, you know, I haven't been in love with Nussmeier, Ewers, Beck, Milroe. The two quarterbacks that I'm watching that I like the most are Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. How about yourself, Mike?
I think Shedeur has been hard to. I did 3 of his tapes last year and 2 of them this year so far. And his offensive line was so bad a year ago, I didn't even feel like I could put a grade on him. I didn't think it was fair to Shador. Okay. This year, I've done a couple more tapes, and I think he's in the conversation. I think the most fun I had watching the game, though, was Cam Ward, the Miami kid, who I didn't know anything about. And I just put a tape in a few weeks ago. And the thing I loved about him, even though he made some bad decisions, you know, most of these kids, you watch them throw 30 balls in a game and 27 of them are within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. I mean, this kid pushes the ball down the field. He's got an innate feel for touch. He can layer it. He's not afraid to make a mistake. He's not afraid to give a guy a chance to make a play. And I like that. And that's a little different than a lot of these guys. I've been disappointed with the Georgia kid. I thought he played poorly a couple of weeks ago in the loss. I thought he had a poor half again. Milroe, I kind of like Milroe, to be honest with you. I think there's a lot there. I think he's a big, strong, physical kid, both from a run and pass perspective. I got to really drill down on his accuracy but he's a young kid again. It's really, excuse me, we're talking about guys in the NFL that we can't figure out at age 26 and 7, and these kids are 20 and 21, and it's even harder.
I have a theory, and I'll just run it by you, and this could just be a sports talk radio theory. You tell me. Brady is the new minority owner, right, with the Raiders. He has a relationship with Shador Sanders. I think Brady's going to be making that decision on who they draft that quarterback, whether they have the pick that gets him Shador or not. I think Brady's going to try everything in his power to move up to go get Shador. What do you think about that?
I think that if he does have that kind of influence, then he probably needs to give the other job up. there's already some fine lines there. I think for me, it's way too early to talk like this. I have no idea. And basically, until I get through, there's some other quarterbacks I think are intriguing that we haven't even talked about. So to me, it's talk show radio at this time of year. It's fun, but I don't really go there at this time of year.
Do you think, knowing Mark Davis the way that you do, that he's going to really rely on Brady to make some of these decisions?
I don't know. And again, he's a minority owner, and typically minority owners don't have a voice in the building. This is a different guy now. So I think some of the mandates that the NFL put on him as far as his broadcasting career were more predicated on him being a silent minority partner. So the more involved he gets in daily operations, I think the less the networks and the other teams are going to want him involved in television.
And just because you were a great player, and we know Brady's the greatest quarterback ever, doesn't make you a great owner or executive. Like, look at Michael Jordan when he was running an NBA team. But that's tough. And hey, it could overstep your GM, but you got the greatest quarterback of all time. It's like, if you're picking a quarterback, how wouldn't you use that as a resource?
I think using him as a resource is smart. I think having him pick your guys is a different conversation. You're paying a general manager and a head coach to make those decisions. So there's some real danger in just bringing in a guy and just saying, hey, you're the guy. You're going to make all You know, it's one thing to bring them in and say, okay, let's spend a week grinding tape together. And let's talk quarterbacks. Let's talk about what you like about each of these kids and why, what you don't like. And it'd be interesting to even take him out as you evaluate these quarterbacks face-to-face. You know, when you have private workouts, when you go out to dinner with them, when you try to get to know them as people, that kind of feedback from a guy like Tom Brady, I think, would be invaluable. But at a certain point, all I'm saying is I think he's got to make a decision as to what he's going to be. Is he going to be a broadcaster or is he going to be an NFL executive? Because the more he has to say, the more they're going to demand he make a decision.
He's Mike Mayock, the former NFL general manager. Does a phenomenal job. Going to be on the call tomorrow night on many of these same stations if they do carry Westwood One for the Westwood One production of Thursday Night Football between the Houston Texans and the Jets. Mike, appreciate the time. Good to catch up. Thank you.
Same here. Thank you, Zach.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.